You're listening to SBS News.
It has been 13 years since Paskazi Mudewe arrived in Australia from war-torn Congo. The mother of three now has her sons Samuel, Emmanuel and Kanel. But she says back in 2008, it was a different story.
When I came to Australia, I came alone. I didn't know anyone. It is very important to help people who are new in the country because first for themselves, they really need that help to know the system, to get used to the system of the country.
Paskazi is thankful for the support she has received, helping her learn the language and eventually find a job as a migrant caseworker. She's just one beneficiary of such services for new arrivals. There are a variety of settlement groups in Australia, some federally or state-funded, others not-for-profit or private. They focus on things like accommodation, helping people connect to their communities, education, language, employment and health. But Violet Roumeliotis, the CEO of Settlement Services International, says COVID has had far-reaching impacts.
It's been a seismic shift. We've seen every element of the organisation from the top to the bottom change.
SSI is the largest not-for-profit humanitarian settlement organisation in Australia. It employs many migrants and refugees, and the majority of its funding comes from state and federal governments. Despite the COVID challenges, it managed to adapt some face-to-face services to online. But with the refugee intake paused, Ms. Roumeliotis says staff from its humanitarian settlement team are under pressure.
It's devastating. We're now embarking on, redundancies. By the time this process finishes in the next few months, we will be a third capacity. There's contracts, for example, the Refugee Resettlement Program is fee for service. If clients don't come, you don't receive any fees.
SSI and fellow organisation AIMS Australia account for roughly two-thirds of resettlement services in Australia. In a non-COVID year, AIMS supports 4,000 new refugees in Victoria. It hasn't yet been forced into redundancies, but spokesman Laurie Knowles says it has used this time to bolster its other services.
We've had to pivot to supporting the caseload that we've already got here to help them understand the critical information about the pandemic. And we've had some success in getting refugees into jobs, which has assuaged their fears about the future.
6,000 people were granted humanitarian visas last year and are still waiting to enter Australia. But when they'll be able to do so is unclear. Ms. Roumeliotis says SSI is making preparations for next year and anticipates by then more than 20,000 people will be in the queue.
We have some capacity, we have, equity, we have some reserves. However, many smaller do not, and they are really struggling. And once you lose that, it's very hard to get it back.
A loss that would be felt by people like Winter Iyob. She and her sister were barely teenagers when they fled religious persecution in Eritrea. They are both in their final semesters at universities in Melbourne and have gained employment in their sectors. But Ms. Iyob says they are passionate about giving back to others like them.
Especially migrants, newcomers, not just my community, but anyone who have had a refugee experience or a difficult background, to help them realize their potential and see there are a lot of opportunities here in Australia, not just be limited to their background.
Such limitations, though, could be exacerbated if the capacity of the essential services around them are cut. Omar Dehan, SBS News.